Esme glanced up as a shadow crossed her screen. Kamaho, the name tag said, clipped to a uniform that fit its wearer like a new saddle. Technically fitting, but uneasy in some way. The insignia of a petty light had been applied recently and not quite straight to his sleeve.
I was told to report here, to Major Patak.
His eyes roved the compartment as if scanning it for hidden weapons. His glance at Esme had been dismissive. Her skin prickled. He reminded her of something, someone. Her mind, suddenly alert, scrabbled frantically in her memory to figure out what. She looked back at the screen before she answered.
She's in with Commander Ceviche. Are you with Wraith?
She couldn't imagine anyone from Kosciusko giving her quite that look. It wasn't the "you're not really fleet, are you" look, or the "you're that kid who commanded despite, are you" look, or any of the others she'd have recognized.
Yes, sir.
The pause snagged her attention away from the screen graphics again.
We were in the forward compartment, the sleepy gas.
Esme instantly forgave the man's odd behavior. If he'd been through all that, he could still be affected by the drug.
You're lucky to be alive. We've got Wraith in now. Work's already started. You can wait here for Major Patak or at Commander Ceviche's office.
Where's Commander Ceviche's office?
The ship chip in his pocket bleeped, and he peered cross-eyed at a space between him and Esme. She knew what that meant. The ship chip was projecting a route.
Just follow your ship chip.
He turned, without the proper acknowledgement. Esme started to say something, but he had been gassed and might still be a bit hazy. Something wasn't quite right.
Petty light?
He stopped in mid-stride, then turned jerkily. Something not right at all. His eyes were not the eyes of someone dazed by drugs. His eyes had a bright gleam half hidden behind lowered lids.
Yes, Lieutenant?
Esme could not define what was wrong. It was not anything so positive as disrespect, which she had experienced often enough. Respect and disrespect occurred in a relationship, a connection. Here she felt no connection at all, as if Petty Light Kamaho were not fleet at all, but a civilian.
When you see Major Patak, tell her that the simulations for fabrication have arrived from Specmat.
The simulations have arrived. Yes, sir.
Kamaho turned, moving more decisively than someone fogged on sleepy gas, and was gone before Esme could say more. She scowled at the screen. What had he been about to say? She felt uneasy. Did Wraith have traitors on its crew? Was that why it suffered such damage? Why was Kamaho alive, uninjured, after such a hull breach between him and the rest of the ship? This was ridiculous. She had not noticed anything amiss and despite, had not recognized that any of the traitors were traitors. Kamaho had been lucky, that was all, and now he was disoriented, on a strange ship with none of his familiar companions. Still, that didn't work out. The casualties on despite, traitor or loyal, had none of them stumbled over the familiar fleet greetings and honorifics. With blood in his mouth, as he died, Chief Major Barscott had answered "Yes, sir," to Esme. How many of the survivors in those forward compartments had been lucky? And was it luck? Kamaho's eyes, his gaze, reminded her of her father's soldiers. Ground Pounder's eyes, Commando's eyes, roving, assessing, looking for the weaknesses in a position, thinking how to take over. Take over what? Shaking her head, Esme flicked to the next screen, but her mind wandered anyway. In the Califer uprising, both sides had tried infiltrating the other's defensive positions with troops wearing stolen uniforms, using stolen ID. It had worked a few times. She'd never heard of such a thing happening in Fleet. Ships weren't infiltrated by individuals, they were attacked by other ships. Pirates sometimes boarded individual commercial vessels, but that wasn't the military.
It would take a single badly damaged fleet ship. One that could not detect the movement of individuals in EVA gear. A hull breach that let them in. A way to get the right uniforms. No, that's silly.
Major Patak came in while she was still arguing with herself, dropping a half dozen cubes onto her desk.
That Kamaho fellow from Wraith must still be half-tranked. I couldn't get out of him which simulations we're in. I sent him on down to E-12. They can use him for a runner if nothing else. Can't cause much trouble that way.
Major, I was wondering about a security breach.
Security breach? What are you talking about?
Camajo, I'm not sure, but something wasn't right.
He'd been out for a week. That scrambles anyone's brain. How could he be a security breach?
He just didn't react the way he should. The way he looked at me, it wasn't a tranked out sort of expression.
You've been through a mutiny. If it hasn't made you paranoid, maybe you would notice something wrong. So you think he might be a traitor, like Hearn or Garavay?
No, sir. I was thinking, what if someone infiltrated Wraith? Through the hull breach, maybe. Couldn't Blood Horde troops have gotten in there before Wraith jumped out?
You mean like boarding a watership in a pirate story? Nobody does that, Sweeza. Not in real life in deep space. Even pirates send people over in pods. Besides, how would they survive through jump?
Well, there were survivors in the forward compartments.
But those were Wraith crew, in Wraith uniforms, with their names on the crew list. I was there myself, Sweeza. I didn't see anything that looked like Blood Horde commandos, just wounded who'd been knocked out by sleepy gas to conserve oxygen.
You're sure?
Unless you're suggesting that the Blood Horde cleverly dressed their soldiers in our uniforms, uniforms that just happened to have the right ID patterns in the cloth and the right name tags on the pockets, and wounded them, drenched them in their own blood, then left them there to jump in a damaged ship?
I suppose they really were wounded?
I'm no medic. How would I know? They were unconscious and covered with blood, wearing our uniform. What more do you want?
Camajo wasn't wounded. I think I'll check with sickbay if you don't mind.
Sweeza, am I not giving you enough to do? Let medical worry about the wounded unless you want to transfer over there.
No, sir.
All right, Sweeza. If you're worried about something, just spit it out.
Sir, I have a bad feeling. The thing is, sir, if they could get close enough to hand plant a mine, they could have put some troops aboard.
Without anyone noticing? That's...
Sir, Wraith was isolated at the time of the attack. Individuals in EVA gear, or even in small pods, wouldn't have shown up on scans by Justice and Sting. Wraith's own scan was badly damaged. The tactical analysis suggested that the Blood Horde might want to capture a DSR, not just destroy one. I know we don't usually consider the Blood Horde as having this sort of planning ability, but consider, if they could get a commando team aboard the DSR, they could cause enough disruption to make it easier for a follow-up ship or wave of ships to board and capture it.
I can see where that might be a plan, Sweeza. But I repeat, those wounded wore our uniform. Our uniform! With the fleet recognition code in the weave. You think they stole a bale of our cloth and made up uniforms, then stole Wraith's personnel list?
No, sir. Suppose they boarded forward of the breach, counting on the confusion. Communications to the forward compartments failed with the damage, so whatever they did up there wouldn't be known aft. They could have overpowered any uninjured crew, killed them, put on their uniforms, jettisoned their own uniforms, and the dead.
It still sounds like something out of an adventure cube, Sweeza, not like real life. On the other hand, the Blood Horde go for the dramatic. You would argue, then, that the blood belonged to the real RSS personnel, now dead, and that inside those bloody uniforms, the enemy were unwounded?
Yes, sir. Unless jump transit did them some harm. Those compartments weren't any too sound, you said.
No. I must say, Sweeza, your passion for completeness can be a real pain sometimes. We had enough to do already.
Major Patak reached for the comm switch.
But I'll check.
For the time it took for Patak to work her way through the obstacles the medical section put in the way of the merely curious, Esme tried to settle to her own assignment. The lines and figures blurred on the screen. She kept seeing in her mind what she had not seen with her own eyes. The dark compartments of Wraith's bow section, cluttered with debris and unconscious men and women. She ran her stylus along a column of figures, trying to force her mind to some useful task, while listening to Patak's end of the conversation with medical.
Oh, interesting. I helped evacuate some of them, you know, and they were covered with blood. Yes, I see. Just the effect of the sleepy gas? Are they still in sickbay, then? When?
Patak's eyes met Esme's.
I see. If you retain this habit of being right, Sweeza, you're going to be hated. They weren't wounded. Any of them. 25 males. Seemed a little dazed and confused when they woke up, and 3 hours ago they were sent off to various workstations around the ship. Camajo, as we both know, was sent here, to H&A. If they were Blood Horde, that many Blood Horde loose in our ship could do us real damage.
Yes, sir.
And I don't even know where they are. A petty chief named Barahide from personnel came and got them. Not somebody from Wraith, because all Wraith personnel who aren't in sickbay are busy helping our people with damage assessment.
As she talked, Patak was scrolling through the communications tree.
Ah, here we are. Extension 7762. Of course, that's if they really are Blood Horde. They might not be. We need someone from Wraith, or rather the captain does. But I'll see what Barahide can tell me.
Someone might take a look at the communications lines from the forward compartments to the rear in Wraith. Was it explosive damage, or were they cut?
Good idea, Suisa. You call my chief and tell him to check. Ah, Chief Barahide. Major Patak, listen, about those Wraith crew you took out of sickbay.
Baron tried not to think about Esme Suisa. He had enough to do, if only he could concentrate on it. Besides, she was two ranks above him. He was a mere boy to her. He told himself that, but he didn't believe it. She respected him. After that first disastrous argument, she had treated him as an equal. He felt himself scowling. This wasn't about respect, exactly. It was about... He squirmed, trying to push the thought aside. Planet-born and higher-ranked. He had no good reason to be thinking of her that way, and he was. Her soft brown hair made his Serrano black hair look harsh. Her height made Serrano compactness look stubby. The back of her neck, even her elbows. He didn't want to feel this, and he did. Serranos, his mother had said, fall hard when they fall. He had taken that as he took most of the things he was told about his inheritance, with far more than one grain of salt. His mother was not a Serrano. Her occasional sarcasms might be envy. His adolescent crushes had been obvious even to him as temporary flares of hormonal activity. He had expected to find someone, if he ever did, in the respectable ranks of Fleet's traditional families. A Levati, perhaps. A Dameron. There was one of his year, a sleek, green-eyed beauty with the supple Dameron back. If they had been assigned to the same ship, but they hadn't been. This was unsuitable. He knew that. Grandmother would raise those eyebrows. Mother would sigh that sigh. His distant cousin Harris would... He didn't want to think about her either. The rumor was that she had chosen an unsuitable partner, but he didn't think that would make her sympathetic. The part of his mind that had not wandered off down this seductive lane prodded him back to alertness. Commander Voorhees would have his head on a platter if he didn't get those scan components out of inventory and down to the repair bay in a hurry. He shook his head at his own folly and caught an amused glance from another ensign he knew.
Hey, Serrano, you hear about the mysterious intruders?
Intruders? What intruders?
Some casualties off a Wraith who weren't that badly hurt, so we put them to work and then they disappeared. About that time, someone in Hull and Architecture went spacey and started claiming they were Blood Horde agents or something. Anyway, nobody can track them down, and there's a sort of alert.
Nothing official yet?
No. Unless this is it.
All personnel, report to nearest lift tube bay on deck 7 and 8 for identification confirmation. All personnel.
Baron and the others in sight drifted toward the nearest lift tube bay.
You know, this is stupid. They'll never find anyone in this maze. 5 arms, the core, 18 decks, all the dead space here and there, let alone the inventory bays. It's impossible.
Baron remembered what Esme had told him about the internal scan evidence used in her trials.
If it really is a Blood Horde assault group, they better find them. Anyway, we've got internal scan in every compartment. They'd have to know how to disable it to escape detection. Shouldn't be that hard to track them, even in a ship this size.
What could they do anyway? If we don't find them, they'll just rattle around. Can't be but a few.
The other ensign slowed as the crowd ahead came in sight.